Okay.
Hydrogen.
Helium.
Lithium.
Valerium.
Boron.
Carbon.
Nitrogen.
Oxygen.
Ah, fuck it. That's all we need. I'm Christian.
And I'm Kat.
And this is the Hydrogen Show, appropriately named because that is the weirdest element on the periodic table.
And we are the weirdest people that I've ever met.
You know, I'm really excited about doing this podcast. Oh, you know, yeah. The internet is complete freedom. I mean, not only do I do anything that Kevin Smith tells me to blatantly, I mean, recently I've made the acquaintance of a young lady that I find extremely charming, and today we were talking at lunch, and she was saying, oh, you know, Christian, you know, you always go too far, and you know, you offend me, and I mean, just like Kevin is limited in having to have $20 million spent in every movie, I'm limited on wanting her to find me charming. So now on the internet, with the only person I know who doesn't get offended, we can say whatever the hell we want.
Exactly, and the best thing about this is that on the internet, you are completely held unaccountable for anything that you choose to do. It's fantastic, let me tell you.
Alrighty. Nate said that it's going to be completely unnatural for recording a podcast.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't lying.
He wasn't lying, but he was also not correct. I mean,
yeah, you know, I mean, it's just kind of sass pouring out of our mouths. It's not that much different from what we do in class, you know.
Obviously. I mean, yeah. We're not Sophie said, oh my God, you guys are actually studying? I said, no, we're doing what we do in class. We're just making snarky comments about Arlo.
Exactly. Oh, Arlo, that dear, dear, touched child.
So the Hydrogen Show is about three things: chemistry, parenting, and useless shit.
Exactly, which is basic. That basically makes up our entire lives, if we're being honest here.
So the chemistry part is we're in the same chemistry class, the
Shocker.
Very dumb Chem 1, which we're in because we somehow made it through biology, despite me doing all the work and her saying, oh my God, this is, I can't do this.
You know what? We agreed that I would do all the work for chemistry, so you can just shush.
But,
and I mean, granted, we didn't know that we were going to be in the same class, so that was more of like a hypothetical.
And we never agreed that till we got to chemistry class.
That's
and
a fair point.
And I enjoy doing the work.
Yeah, but you know, now we can just force Arlo to do it.
But look at parenting. I mean, I pull the majority of the weight in this family.
You know what? No, you don't. You know what? I have done so much to raise our clear son.
And look how that's gotten you.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's not, you've not been a big help either.
I do as little as possible, so I'm contributing to the demise as little as possible. I don't want my DNA going into that someday.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't even think he's of our DNA. I heard that he's a test tube baby.
Think so? Oh,
yeah.
For those of you, just for the record, we have a 15-year-old son named Arlo.
And we are both 16.
Yeah. I mean, I was 3 months old, my whole life ahead of me, and then I get that call. I mean, that's never a fun one.
Yeah,
I can even open my eyes, but I have a kid now.
Yeah, well, you know what? It wasn't my fault. You were the one who's supposed to be responsible.
Well, hey, it was 50% for each of us.
Oh.
You didn't want a kid, you shouldn't have agreed to this.
Yeah, well, you know what? It wasn't my choice anyway. And then we didn't see each other until we were like 15 again back in biology class.
Yeah, we simultaneously raised the kid.
Yeah, you know, we simultaneously raised him by never seeing him basically until last year.
So anyway,
but you know what?
Arlo is our child, and he's the... I don't know how to describe it. He's so sad.
He is so sad. He is like a low-functioning vegetable.
He's completely confused about everything all the time.
It's like he just doesn't quite grasp the fact. Like the face wash.
Okay, so last year we're in a play. It's a Curiosity Cat. It was a kid's play. Shout out to Chris Grabenstein. You're an awesome writer. And we had to do all these kind of makeup. And Arlo was playing the German Shepherd, like, which was a pun on Nazihood, and apparently no one missed that when it premiered at the Tennessee Children's Theater. So he was the German Shepherd. He had to have all this dog makeup on. And so he was putting his makeup on one day, and it was after the show, and this girl goes, so guys, if anyone needs to wash their face, I have some face wash here. And Arlo, completely blank look on his face, just panics and goes, oh God, what's face wash?
To which everyone responds,
God damn it, Arlo. I mean, even when there's something, when he's not even there, that's... I mean, it's usually his fault, but
it's always
Arlo's fault. I mean, he's an idiot. Never his parents. He's the one corrupting us.
Yes, you know, I don't know quite how that ended up working, but it just did. You know, for somehow he just turned into this raging menace of absolute cluelessness,
complete cluelessness.
Oh, God.
I mean, his signature catchphrase is "Oh God." I mean, it'll be something. I'll say, "Arlo, you know, get out your notebook." Oh God, what do I do? I'm Arlo.
Or there was the time when we had to clean that stuff in chemistry. The test tubes or whatever, and it sort of splashed the water a little bit and goes, oh God.
Yeah. So the other day, we're working on a lab together, the three of us, me, Kat, and Arlo, and first of all, we're in the middle of this thing. We're testing related elements and their reactions.
You know, we were taking different salts instead of putting them on an inoculating loop and then burning them because it was fun.
But you had to dip the salts in the loop first.
Yes, and so, well, you had to clean the loop between all of these these salts, you know, so that they wouldn't be contaminated. And so I, you know, I'm holding the loop and he's holding the hydrochloric acid that we were using to clean it. And I go to dip the thing.
And we're working very quietly. I mean,
yes,
we're a well-oiled machine. I mean, things are silent. I mean, we might talk about numbers or you're scratching at pencils, but we're really in the zone here.
Yes, clearly, you know, that's exactly what our chemistry teacher will back us up on.
And Arlo just breaks the silence. For no reason at all, it goes, dippity dip dip.
At which point, I can't move because I'm on the floor, paralyzed with laughter.
And I'm doing the same thing, yet I can move a bit more because I'm a very limber man.
Yes, you know, you're just the well-oiled machine there. And then our chemistry teacher comes over, sort of looks at us, shakes her head, and then moves on.
Dippity dip dip.
What possesses someone to say that? It doesn't matter how much of a potato you are. You don't say that.
You don't. And, I mean, he thinks he was really proud of himself. I mean, he thought he said something really clever there. It's just, I mean,
it's just that he didn't. He never does. Poor child.
You'd think Arlo had never been in a chemistry lab before. Like, I mean, he's our son. Like, when we're working in groups and someone has to go up to the table and get supplies, I mean, Kat and I would literally discuss, do you think Arlo can go by himself?
You know, he really can't because I'm fairly sure he knocked over that jar of salt the one time.
Oh, he always knocks things over.
Oh, always. You know, the hydrochloric acid almost spilling it on everyone, that was a little bad, you know?
I wish he would have just spilled it on himself.
I know, it would have been solving all of our problems. Probably wouldn't have even noticed it.
God damn it, Arlo. I mean, I swear, he can't be mine. I mean, I don't think you were seeing any other men when you were 3 months old.
No, but no, I clearly wasn't. And you weren't, you know, he's not mine either.
Yes, which, yeah, you gave a book to him.
But you know
well, I didn't see you for 14 years, I'm not
sure.
Yes,
you know, perhaps he is not of us, truly. Perhaps he is
a test tube baby. We think that he might have been someone that he was a test tube baby, that the scientists who made him abandoned him. Like,
yes, we were the fools who took pity on him.
They just forgot him. Like, they literally just left him in a lab, like, in the test tube to grow up. I mean, he's 15 at the moment, although you wouldn't guess it. You guess he's, like, 6 by talking to him.
Yeah.
And slow for 6 years old, too.
Yeah, you know, maybe like 5 tops in terms of processing.
I mean, there have been times when I felt bad for making fun of someone disabled when I make fun of him, then realized, no, I mean, he's not that smart. But
yeah, you know, he's not. He doesn't really pick up on it. It's like he barely even remembers all the dumb stuff that he said. He's asked who's asked the face wash thing before. I mean, let's be honest.
We'll be making fun of him for face wash, and the three of us talking, we're blatantly making fun of him, you know, chastising him for every little word he said, and then, you know, here he is going, face wash. Like, he honestly does not know that he was the one who said it.
Oh, Arlo.
So, I mean, could he be a test tube baby that they just abandoned?
I think he really could, you know? I mean, I think that he is, like, randomly skinny and tall enough that it seems like he sort of grew in the test tube, so that he was, like, gradually getting taller but not any wider.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that just dimension-wise, even, it works.
So they take Arlo, maybe it's like a, what experiment was he built for?
Oh, he was clearly done in some sort of, like, cloning thing gone horribly.
Cloning.
Probably from, like, a sheep or a monkey.
Or there's some weird scientist who, you know, really wanted to have intercourse with a potato and a child.
Well, that's definitely it.
So he's half potato, half scientist, all ours. So, I mean, he goes there. I mean, they probably need him for, what, 3 or 4 weeks of an experiment?
Yeah, you know.
Then after that, they probably left him, locked it up one night.
Yeah,
the janitor didn't realize.
There
was a note to the janitor saying, please throw this away. And then he forgets to.
At which point, the janitor just sort of, he becomes like that one guy in Greek mythology where he, like, takes the child instead and tries to raise him as his own and then just sort of abandons him on our doorstep.
He's also kind of like the BoJack Horseman from Horsin' Around or, you know, anyone from Full House. But
yes, exactly.
By the way, that's coming back on. Yay.
Oh, it is.
They're making a sequel series.
Never saw it.
You're not missing much.
All right.
Hijinks. This guy moves in with his brother. The brother's a bad actor. The uncle's a bad actor. He has two little kids who play the same. Two actresses who play the same person.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You need to see it. It's awful. There's one episode where one of the girls goes to the prom, and there's this band. The band's name is Human Pudding. Their song is just Human Pudding. Human Pudding. Or there's one where Uncle Jesse's kind of the rebel of the series, and he breaks both of his arms in like a skiing accident or something, because I think he's there in Colorado. So there's this hilarious scene where he's trying to eat cereal with both arms and casts. It's comedy just doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, well, you know, clearly I'm missing quite a lot off the
He's going, and then, you know, the girls are looking at him like, and he goes, what? Haven't you ever seen a grown man eat cereal? God. It's the best show ever.
Well, I'll be sure to go and watch that and stock up on some material for any comedy that I might need.
I mean, pretty much any time you want to watch something on TV at 10 o'clock, Full House will be on somewhere.
Noted.
It's usually the only thing.
All right, I'll remember that for when I have to go home for summer, you know.
My favorite line was in the, like, DJ's friend. DJ's the girl, obviously. And her friend was coming over, and the dad, who's a bad actor, was, like, cooking in the kitchen. And the friend goes and says, "Hey, what's for dinner?" He goes, "A home-cooked meal. Now go home and start cooking." It's just, oh my God.
Perhaps my father watched it. It would explain a lot about what he says.
Oh, my God. I've only met your father once, and it was during the pig lab. And
we still didn't really know each other, just for the record.
Yeah.
He was sort of the kid that I was making do all the work.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm like, "So what's the rectum?" And your father, who's in the food industry, is so quick to point out, you know, the rectum is where... I don't want to say it.
Lots of poop jokes.
It's unusable. That is the one word I refuse to say. It's so uncivilized.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe I'll just have to come up to you every day in class and just go...
No. I will do the whole George Carlin thing, the, you know, fuck tits, cocksucker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that term doesn't come up very often in my career, but I will say anything, but I will not say...
I'll do anything, but I wouldn't do that. That's the one thing.
That is what too far is. You know, the charming young lass is trying to figure out what too far is for Christian. And that's it.
Yes.
Christian will never say that.
I'll be sure to go and tell her that. She'll just torment you for the rest of your days, I'm sure.
You know the lass I'm referring to?
I believe that I do.
Because I know her too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Gasp.
Yeah. Oh, they were saying your name. Yeah. Okay. I digress. Oh, she's not listening to this, but she probably will because, you know.
We're going to advertise this shamelessly, and we'll promote it as something grand and wonderful, and then it will be terrible, much like musical theater.
Yes. Yeah, Never Forget, Never Forgive, Big Fish the Musical. One of my favorites. Speaking of which, you should all listen to The Hydrogen Show.
Yes, all the time.
On iTunes, every Saturday, probably.
Probably Saturday.
One day of the week.
It'll come out once a week, or
twice,
later.
Or once every 2 weeks. We'll figure it out.
It will come out on a
day.
Hopefully scheduled schedule.
Yeah. That's the spirit.
There we go.
Hey, it's still going to be more regular than Batman on Batman, am I right?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's always got
to
be.
I mean, yeah. When you decide to make a whole podcast about Batman, that's a poor choice to begin with. But when you only do it, like, once every 6 months, I mean,
yeah, you know,
on.
Then it's just, that's just pushing it, you know? You gotta pick something and stick with it.
Yeah.
That being said, we will be taking a brief hiatus.
6 months to take our son to a spiritual retreat. We're just, like, sit in 200-degree rooms until the stupidity sweats out of him.
Yeah, you know, we talked to the witch doctor, and he said that was probably the best idea at this point. All the medical doctors have failed us, or they just don't recognize his existence.
Then he ends up just being, like, a French fry.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Potato.
You know, it's just gone badly, you know. So we've decided that spiritual medicine is the only way to cure him.
But even then, the witch doctor says, "Look, I make no promises. I mean,
yeah,
I've never seen anyone this bad." I mean, contrary to popular belief, I cured FDR of his paralysis. He just did it as an act for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
but I can't cure Arlo.
No, you know, I mean, all those poor cripples and the other mentally disabled people. But Arlo, special case.
Arlo, and not special as in the politically correct term for, like, mentally disabled. I mean, he's not special at all. I mean, he's unique, but
he's
not...
He's so one of a kind that he's crossed into being common.
But also so common that he's one of a kind.
Exactly. You know, he's a walking paradox, really. I mean, think about it. How can someone who doesn't know what face wash is be in a chemistry class a year ahead of his peers? You know, how does that work?
Or maybe we're just a year behind him.
Yeah, but, you know, that means maybe our grade is just really dumb.
I'm class president. I can assure you that pretty much everyone in my grade,
everyone
that I rule over is extremely dumb.
Yeah,
that's why they voted for me.
Yeah, and exactly. And, you know, I mean, these are the people in our grades. We don't even know how to tell time. I mean, look at Christian here, you know?
You're speaking like an old Jewish comedian. You're like, shoelaces. I mean, why does everyone want to, I want to tie my shoelaces. Why can't you just walk without them? I mean, who really trips on their shoelaces? Am I right?
I mean, to be fair, I tripped on my shoelaces while going down to eat breakfast this morning.
Were you going down the stairs?
I was going down the stairs.
Oh,
and then
surprised.
I tripped again while I was walking on flat ground, but you know, we don't talk about that one.
Remember when I used to have those like hiking boots I wore last year and
yes.
Like thrice when I walked out of biology class, they had these little like golden things that like the laces go around on them.
Yes.
And like the laces would get caught in this and I would just
It'd be like, sort of stop.
It'd be like a bad like spy movie parody. There's like something that goes around my ankles and I fall over. And you'd say, well, are you okay? And I'd say, yeah, it's all right. Well, I'm going to go beat Arlo.
Yeah, you know, because it was Arlo's fault. It's always his fault.
It's always his fault.
He's clearly the one who sabotaged the shoelaces.
He sabotages everything, although he couldn't spell sabotage.
Oh, no, you know, I'm fairly certain that he can't. I mean, even I am not gifted with extreme vocabulary skills. Just kidding, I am. But, you know, even I can spell sabotage.
No, like, the other day, something went wrong in chemistry class. I don't know what it was. And we were talking about who was to blame for it.
Oh,
we're like, I think you're to blame. No, I think you're to blame. Well, let's agree Arlo's to blame. And for no reason, just to join the conversation, Arlo goes, inflatable!
He wasn't even on the same side of the room. And then he heard his name or something, and he sort of, like, wanders over a bit. And then he just chimes in with inflatable, at which point we just go, God damn it, Arlo.
Well, we say that always. I mean,
always.
When he brought home his artwork from preschool saying, I made a picture of us because we're a family.
Yeah,
it's
you know,
you
but...
and Mom, it's a bowl of potato chips. That's
yeah, but you know, perhaps telling him that the painting of the potato chips was a bit cruel, you know, that it would have been cruel to tell him that that was his mirror, you know, I mean.
Yeah, it would have been, but then he found out. I mean,
yeah, you know, eventually he found out when the preschool teacher was.
Mm-hmm.
She sent home a note.
We've told him that he's half potato, half person. We're waiting until his 17th birthday to tell him that he's a fool.
Yeah, but, you know, I argued for 18. I figured at that point, as soon as we tell him, we can just throw him out of the house and there will be no repercussions.
I mean, we've thrown him out of the house before, but there are repercussions.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean the woodshed and the highway, but we don't really talk about that.
The repercussions not being legal, but the bad thing is him wandering back home.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a kid wandering on the side of the highway, sort of absentmindedly looking at grass and wandering in to look at the weeds growing in the road. I mean, yeah, I can see how that's a bit dangerous.
No, I'm fine with that. I mean, if I'm driving on the highway and I see a kid on the side of it, if anything, I swerve to hit him.
I don't know what these other people
are
thinking.
It's really just because I'm trying to keep him safe, because I don't want him getting in the car with hitchhikers.
So
if I just get rid of him entirely, then it's really the safest thing for everybody. It keeps him from getting raped, so.
Oh, man, at one point, my dad and my brother and I were driving home, and for some reason, my father, who is always very adamant about safety first, and, you know, don't do dumb things, he decides to stop and pick up hitchhikers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And so my brother was sitting in the back of the car, and he just sort of, the hitchhikers just sort of pile in, and one of them has like this giant hoop thing. Like, it's like the biggest hula hoop you've ever seen. And she sort of like drapes it around his shoulders and hers and the guy's, and it was very confusing.
Wait, so you just got three hitchhikers?
We just got two hitchhikers randomly.
And you don't know what the hula hoop thing is?
We have no idea. I'm judging from the smell by now, I am fairly certain it was full of weed. But we're moving past that.
What happens when you have hitchhikers in the car? Like, do you try to make conversation, or do you just...
My father made awkward conversation.
Like,
it turns out they were going to join the circus. Where were we going? They were trying to get to Cirque du Soleil, which... they were trying to get to Nevada, apparently, or wherever Las Vegas is.
It's Nevada.
Okay, yeah, so it's Nevada, and for some reason, we were going from, like, Michigan to Ohio. I don't know what they were thinking. I think they were really, really high at that point. But, you know, I mean...
Were they, like, currently employed by the Cirque du Soleil, or, like, we're gonna go to the Cirque du Soleil, and then we're gonna join?
Yeah, you know, it was that. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, we're great at this shit. We can do circus. We're just gonna go, and we'll show our faces, and they'll take us instantly.
No, it's like, joining the circus is like joining the army. You just show up, and they put you somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's definitely how it works. I mean, I don't know about Cirque, but the other circuses, I know that's how it works, because they took my uncle once, and I didn't see him for several hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Cirque du Soleil things are weird. Like, I don't know what those people do, like, the breaks. Like, I feel like everything is just like a weird incense-fueled orgy or something.
I don't know. I mean, I've watched...
Orgy of the mind, not
there,
the
yeah, you know. I mean, I've watched a couple documentaries on Cirque du Soleil, and apparently it's pretty tough to get in, and then once you're in, you just never leave.
I don't know.
It's like the mafia.
I don't know, the circus mafia. I don't know what is worse, that there are multiple documentaries in the Cirque du Soleil that have been made, or that you've seen both of them.
You know what? They are excellent. I have quite a passion for the circus. I have long dreamed of sending my brother away to perform as some sort of half-tamed monkey or something of the like.
I mean, I'll admit that Water for Elephants was a good movie.
It was a Reese Witherspoon movie
about a guy who joins the circus. No. Various people who join the circus and the hijinks they have.
Oh,
and eventually, spoilers, like elephants come loose and they trample a city. And then this
Seriously?
Old man gets to join the circus.
I am thrilled by that.
Hey, you should go watch it.
I'll definitely go watch that. That in Full House. All weekend. All weekend, every weekend. If you're looking to join in, then just... Full House and...
Best combination, Full House and Water for Elephants.
I'm sure it'll be great.
And then maybe there can be an episode of the new series where Uncle Jesse joins the circus and, like, Reese Witherspoon is the ringmaster.
Perfect.
Perfect.
We'll go ahead and send that pitch in.
Yeah. Oh my God, we should write a spec script, like, to send
yes.
in to be considered for writers on the new Full House series.
We'll do it, and then we'll read it aloud.
Like, look, that can be a whole podcast, is us just, like, sitting here brainstorming ideas for the Full
the
House
new,
show.
The new Full House season, which will be coming out as soon as we get our acts together and actually start writing it.
And actually, so the entire series is contingent on us getting the script done.
Yes.
They don't have anybody
so, I mean,
else
it
to
could,
write Full House.
It could be like 10, 30 years,
it's,
you know, something like
the
that.
The two people that the Full House sequel is writing on is the girl who's never seen it in her entire life and the guy who, it was his favorite show when he was 7.
There you go. I mean, one of us doesn't remember anything and the other just... probably doesn't care enough.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
yeah.
That home-cooked meal line still just tickles my ribs every
oh,
time I think about it.
Oh, well, you know, that's a real rib tickler, I can assure you, and I'm sure that that'll stick with you forever. Much like the time, much like the line that my father once said to me, your cat is dead, she's never coming back.
Did he say that to you or your
to
mother?
Me.
Like, he could have been referring to you.
No, it was to me. Like, I was like, oh, where's my kitty? She's been sick. She's fine, right? You took her to the vet. And he turns to me and he goes, daughter, she's dead. She's never coming back. And 6-year-old me promptly burst out crying, to which he basically told me, stop being such a little bitch.
No, so I have this memory about, like, the time that I learned about death. Like, I was a very innocent kid. I mean, you know that Dr. Seuss book, Because a Little Bug Went Kerchoo?
I don't.
I didn't think you would. But there's this Dr. Seuss book titled, A Little Bug Went Kerchoo, Because a Little Bug Went Kerchoo. And essentially, this bug sneezes, and it sets up this Rube Goldberg system in nature that eventually ends with, like, Armageddon or something, I'm not sure. But unfortunately, because he sneezes, the seed falls off a tree and it falls down and hits a worm on the head. And I was little, I would cry every time my mother read that page because the worm got hit. I didn't cry at Armageddon, but I cried about the worm.
Yeah, well, you know, you've always had a very deep connection with worms.
Anyway, I was a really innocent child. So I have this memory so vivid in my mind. My mother claims it does not happen, but essentially we were driving down the road and there was this man just lying on the side of the road. And I said, Mom, why is that guy sleeping? And she said, Son, that guy's dead. And then I said, what's that? And then she explains it to me. She goes, you know what, you know, happened to your, you know, great-grandmother last year? She goes, yeah, she died. No, she didn't. My father had been very clear to say that Granny got called up to heaven, and the place we were going to was to say goodbye to her. So I honestly thought that the funeral was literally, like, there'd be a moving van and all this stuff, and they're like, you know, they give her, like, a bundt cake, like, for the road. So, I swear, my mother claims it doesn't happen, but I feel like we saw a dead guy on the side of the road, and this is gonna sound really mean, but I feel like it was the first time I learned about, like, that there were people of different races, too.
Yes, well, Christian was a very sheltered child growing up.
I was extremely, I lived in a bubble. I mean, I went to the Somerset preschool.
Yeah, well, conservative West Michigan, where it's all white people. All white people, and then you hit, like, high school when the boarding kids start to come in, and then it's like, wow!
Cranbrook's so diverse.
I know, except it's not.
It's completely white.
Oh, yeah, it's like 110% white. Even, like, the black people, they aren't actually that black.
By the way, if anyone's listening to this who's not Nate, we go to a school called Cranbrook.
Yeah, you know, I doubt that anyone
in West
but
Michigan.
Nate is listening. Hi, Nate.
Sup, Nate?
Hey!
Natatorium! Catman peanut butter!
The human shindig!
Remember that hilarious thing I did in Mr. Binks' class today where I brought in the sign that clearly read honey and you didn't know what it was, so you thought I was just being weird, possibly borderline homophobic, and we considered starting a Michael Bay appreciation club? Those are good times.
Oh, yeah.
And
know.
You're probably, if you're listening to this right now, it's probably Saturday or Sunday. So,
or
so that thing that I just said about, remember that thing I did today?
That's probably irrelevant.
It's like yesterday or the day before. Anyway, you should say hi to Katie for me. I mean, I've only met her once, but I think she's doing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, she seems like she's doing pretty well,
Have you met her?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Of course not.
I've only talked to her once, and all I said was, you know, you have horrible taste in men, but somehow they're still together. So I like to think that I was the first hurdle that their relationship faced.
Yes, you know, definitely were. They probably went home and had a bit of an argument, and now they're fine. You know?
And she goes, I don't know what to do. Yeah, that stranger told me that, you know, I shouldn't be with you, so I guess I shouldn't be. I'm like Christian with Kevin Smith. I just do everything he says. And then Nate goes, I mean, I can't argue with what he's saying. I'd like you to stay. And then Nate's really good at fixing things. Like, when we were doing the 24-hour theater thing, we had to write, direct, produce, star, and design a play in 24 hours.
Oh,
Nate had to go make a bunch of copies of a script. It was taking him a while. I leaned over to Kaylee and I said, "Watch, I guarantee you the coffee machine's broken." And Nate's saying, "Hey, let me just take a peek under the hood of this thing. I'll have it running in a jiffy."
Oh, yeah, you know, stuff like that was happening backstage as well. I'm fairly certain that we couldn't find the proper wood sizes, but Carl wouldn't let us cut them because Carl can be a massive dick at times.
You know, if Nate was here, he'd be laughing at that so hard. Like, wood. We were having that whole discussion the other day about getting people to come to the play, and he goes, "Guys, can you please use another word? I can't not laugh at that." God damn it, Nate. I mean, he's still not as bad as Arlo.
Arlo's just...
In fact, you could be Arlo's godfather if you wanted.
Oh, yeah, you know, I think that he's the godfather. We need a godmother, I guess, from when we abandon
him. And a consigliere. It's like the mafia. I mean, or the Cirque du Soleil.
It's the test tube baby mafia or something.
So, I was on Reddit the other day, as I often am, and there's this gangster on there. He was doing an IMA or Ask Me Anything. And he had done jail time. He's been out of the business for 20 years. And he has now made a movie about his life. And guess what he called it?
Oh, dear.
God the Father.
Please, no.
It was a blatant ripoff ever. That sounds like the porn version of The Godfather, which I would love to see. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Two girls at once.
Oh, that's horrifying. Well, you know, the last time I watched anything, even remotely, with God in the title, I believe, was when I went to see Heaven is for Real.
Oh.
Now, keep in mind, I am the most atheist person in this room, which is not saying much, and yet still. So I went, and the person I was with, and I were like, okay, you know, like, we went up to the ticket counter, we're like, okay, yeah, you know, so is this a comedy? And he goes, it depends, are you atheists? And we say, yes, and he goes, then definitely. So we went and we saw it, and it was a blatant waste of $20.
Wait, I mean, I don't want to spoil things, but was Heaven for Real at the end?
On acid, it sure is.
Was that the one where the boy was saying, who's that guy? I think that's Grandpa. I mean, and then he looked just like that when I saw him in Heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
And the parents go, well, our 5-year-old's never going to be making things up. He clearly went to Heaven. Therefore, Heaven exists.
Yes, exactly. You know, it was a fine example of American values. Blatant Christianity and lots of drugs.
Little kids never lie and they never trip acid. Therefore, he's clearly telling the truth.
Oh, yeah. You know, it would be ridiculous to think otherwise. What are we saying?
I mean, I feel like Arlo would be that guy. Like, he'd fall asleep and woke up and say, guys, I was in Heaven. You know, Ringo was there. And he's dead, so.
Oh my god.
So we are really off track, which, I mean, the point of this show is really chemistry. So Arlo is a test tube baby, born and raised in a lab.
Yes.
So essentially, they leave him there. The janitor's supposed to throw him away, but he doesn't. So, I mean, year one, essentially, he eventually outgrows the graduated cylinder that he lives in. And then
in his rebellious phase, he moves to the sink.
He does. So he's like this little baby living in a sink. I mean, he fends for himself. I mean,
he is truly splendid. And he makes some friends as well, one of whom we hold so very dear.
So essentially, he hangs out with people, you know, hydrochloric acid, Beaker, and not the guy from the Muppets. I'm referring to, like, a Beaker looks at himself in the mirror and says, oh, that looks like Arlo. So essentially, he comes to the time, gets to be older, and although he's half potato, Arlo is still a man inside, so Arlo starts to have certain feelings. There's nothing, Arlo, if you're listening, if you can figure out how to get a podcast on your phone, which I doubt you can, there's nothing to be embarrassed about with those feelings.
Those feelings are
very natural.
Just don't talk to us about them.
He asked me to give him the sex talk.
Oh,
I said, Arlo, you're not going to have to worry about that. He starts to have those feelings, and he wants companionship.
Desperately.
So he finally gets the nerve to ask the hot girl out on a date.
This very pretty, very shiny girl.
The little ribbon of magnesium that we had to put. You know, it doesn't even do anything when she gets into water. That's how.
That's just how sweet that she is.
I'd love to scrape the silver paint off of her and see the pure magnesium inside.
So that was our son's first lover. And
so we think. I mean, we tried to turn a blind eye. I mean, Arlo's sexual pursuits are his own business.
If he wants to have sex with metal, he can have sex with metal.
As long as
he's being safe.
As long as the metal wants to have sex with him.
Yes, exactly.
That's the real issue.
Honestly,
if Arlo wants to have sex, I'm not even worried about him doing it safely. If Arlo finds a woman or a man or a metal or somebody who will have sex with him, I say go for it.
It's the only time he's going to ever get that.
I mean, don't make the same mistake I did when I was 3 months old. I'm going to sit down with Arlo and say, Arlo, if you have sex, do it safely, because if you don't, it can ruin your life forever. You can get stuck with somebody like you.
Yeah, well, you know, right now all three of us are stuck with one another, and unfortunately I think our chemistry teacher can't stand to break us up for labs.
Now, the story's changed so many times. Like, sometimes it's a test tube baby, sometimes he's a guy who fucks a potato, sometimes he's our child from when we were 3 months old.
Yeah, we're not quite sure yet. We're still working on his origin story.
I don't know. Yeah, by the way, you should all listen to the Hydrogen Show.
Yes, you know, it's a great thing.
Shameless self-promotion.
In the middle of the show, which is totally makes sense.
So Arlo finally gets the courage, we're back to the show by the way, Arlo finally gets the courage to ask the Magnesium out on a date. So yeah, he goes up to her and says, hey, oh dear.
And then she's like, yes, and he goes, oh good. And then he runs away for a bit, and she goes and has a thing with oxygen.
Actually, she doesn't. She just sits there.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, like oxygen and she. I heard that they were oxidizing at that point. I don't know if we should tell him that.
I heard that they had a threesome with hydrochloric acid.
Ooh.
You know, there was gas everywhere.
Oh man, you know I think we might want to rethink letting our son date this little Magnesium girl, you know.
I don't care what he does. And by the way, that young lass is going to find me so much less charming after listening to this. We've got to keep her away from it at all costs.
What podcast? We don't do a podcast.
No, we do a podcast.
But everyone's talking about it. Like, what are you talking? We don't do a podcast!
Actually, a really good impression of her.
Oh, okay.
I think. Or maybe it's just really sexist of me. Like, oh, those women sound the same.
But all of us sound exactly the same. Just these light, airy head voices. It's like the Heldrigals, you know? They all laugh exactly the same. And I swear, it's like someone carbon copied them and then changed their hairstyles.
Come on, Kaylee's great.
Kaylee is
I'll never say anything bad about her in there.
You know, Kaylee and Rowan, they are the exceptions.
Rowan's a Heldrigal?
Yeah, she is.
Confirmed.
So
I've spoken to her like thrice in my life. Every conversation said, oh, what's your name again? It's Rowan. What's your name? Christian.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how most of my conversations go as a general rule. But
I'm actually really good with names, but I don't want to look like a stalker, so sometimes I pretend to be really bad with names. I'll meet someone 6 months ago, and I'll think about them every day, then I'll go, so, what's your name again?
See, I'm the exact opposite. I'll meet someone, and I'm like, I really like you. I want to hang out with you more. You know, you're a good person, and then I'll go home, and I won't think about them, and then, like, 6 months later, they'll come back, and they'll be like, hey, Kat, how are you? I'm like, great, who are you?
Gabby Iorio was a good Madrigal.
Oh, she was a good Madrigal,
Did you know her?
Yeah.
That seemed a really fake agreement.
No, I do know her.
Okay, good. I mean,
obviously all of my agreement is fake. That's definitely how it works.
Yes. I mean, you just don't agree with anything that's not said by you.
Exactly.
I mean, if I said that, you know, God doesn't exist, you'd argue, yeah, he does too.
I he doesn't though.
See, she agrees.
Yeah, you know, I do agree sometimes. I'm not a complete hypocrite all the time.
Has there ever been a bigger waste of precious airspace on the internet?
Probably not.
The internet's going to shut down due to net neutrality. And because of this, I mean, all of a sudden we're not going to be able to watch Clerks on Netflix as much.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so the other day, I was not upset, but a little disappointed about something. So I used my only coping mechanism, which is I go and I watch Clerks. And Kevin Smith's classic about a day in the life of two slackers running the Quickstep convenience store. And I cry when Randall says, you need to shit or get off the pot. You know, you say you need to quit. If you hate this job so much, you should just quit it. And then Dante goes, oh, I wish it was that easy. And Randall goes, it is that easy. There's so many jobs out there. They all pay better. You're bound to be qualified for one of them. Just leave. And then Silent Bob comes in and says, some million fine-looking women in this world, they don't bring you lasagna at work. Most of them just cheat on you. Oh, God! She brought a lasagna even though she was with 37 other guys and he's really upset! And then he's mad at her, but then she brings lasagna and it's okay, and then he wants to leave her for another girl, but then she has sex with the dead guy in the bathroom, and it's...
Attention, viewers, Christian is currently having an emotional meltdown.
Because Clerks is so beautiful. It's like the scene, you know, I'm sure you know Sleepless in Seattle.
No.
Oh, the romantic comedy starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Sleepless in Seattle.
In which Meg Ryan hears Tom Hanks on the radio, calls in to talk about how stressful being a single dad is, and she falls in love with him and makes it a point to meet him and marry him even though she's never met him. They meet in the roof of the Empire State Building for the first time, and the little boy just goes, oh, great, that's my new mom. And then they look at after until You've Got Mail comes out, which is even better, by the way. Also Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
That's terrifying.
How is that terrifying?
How does that work?
It's such an airtight plot.
Is that how relationships are supposed to work?
Have you ever seen a Nora?
Because I think I fucked up.
Have you ever seen a Nora Ephron movie?
No.
Well, you should. For the record, guys, There are three films that can make me cry. Clerks, in which two obscure actors and, you know, two philosophical drug dealers talk about things and, you know, reevaluate their life choices before deciding to do exactly what they've been doing for the last 20 years. Chasing Amy, in which Ben Affleck tries to convert a lesbian to being straight, and only to be put off by all the sexual experiences she's had that he has not. At the end, I'm not going to spoil it. Go watch that for yourself. It's a thing of beauty. Ben Affleck is such a good actor. I can cry. And Kevin Smith's words are so beautiful. Then there's When Harry Met Sally, in which Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan play two friends who meet each other once every 5 years, and then they become good friends, and then they have sex, and then they can't be friends anymore. So they just say, fuck it, let's get married.
Oh, brilliant. You know, then definitely, I'm definitely doing relationships right.
I mean, don't those three movies, I mean, those just sound like your kind of thing. I mean,
oh, yeah, you know, definitely. That's exactly the sort of movies I watch. You know, it's right up there with, like, my constant Avengers reruns and all of my other movies that make my mother shrivel up in horror. Oh, what did I watch over the break? I watched Prison Break, I think.
That's a TV show, isn't it?
No.
Isn't that the show?
It wasn't Prison Break then. It was
Prison Break was the, like, show on, bad show on Fox. You know, that's kind of oxymoron, or redundant. I keep using that word wrong. I say oxymoron when I mean repetitive, redundant, and saying the same thing over and over again. I'm not qualified to host a parenting podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, neither am I, but we just move sort of past
that. That's really the whole point of the internet, is that people who are not qualified to do things, do
they
them.
They come and do them.
Which is why we're doing this.
Completely risk-free.
All right. I wonder how many people started listening to this, and how many people are still listening to
it. Yeah, you know, if you're still listening, then,
Gabby, I really hope you are. You're probably not. Nate,
Gabby.
I mean, no, don't listen, Gabby. I mean, you're gonna hate me. Nate, you're probably still listening because you have nothing better to do except sit around and watch Seinfeld and get splinters.
Yeah,
and Arlo's probably playing the whole time with the volume on all the way down, so we can't hear it. And he's just
and he's
listening.
He's just so confused
and
as to
once
why
in a while
he can't
he goes, because he feels he should be laughing.
Exactly, and I'm sure it's at all the parts where we're like, my cat died. And
that's the one thing he heard is my cat
exactly.
died. It's like
he thinks
15,
it's a joke, so he laughs.
15 minutes of silence. My cat died. Another 45 minutes of being quiet.
Yeah, you know, that's basically going to be this. I mean, I guess we could throw in some really shitty jokes, but...
We always could. I mean, we got a periodic table right here.
Hey.
I mean, I really... Their chemistry jokes are, like, easy to type, and I know that. Like, I can say, oh, the irony, and I can say, oh, the F-E hyphen Y, but I can't really do that here. But
no
one wants to do the A-U joke. I mean, that's been done to death.
Yeah, you know.
Still better than the
stuff
Gabby
says. I really feel like a lot of these chemistry jokes are just so overused that we could just bury them.
You probably couldn't hear that because it was really bad, but we just high-fived.
Really badly. But yeah, we'll work on that next time.
We'll work on that the next one. Oh, that's fun stuff. So we got the chemistry joke out of the way.
There we go.
So back to Arlo's love life. I got another phrase I never thought I'd say.
Oh man, you know, it barely exists, though. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that girl has left him for hydrochloric acid, probably been ripped apart by him by now.
He's having a whole Chasing Amy situation.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
I mean, you know, Arlo's going to spend the rest of his life chasing Amy because he let her go because he was so offended by what she did with hydrochloric acid.
You know, he really should have just gotten over it. I know that he's still... likes her deep down and just won't admit it. Perhaps
so,
we should just set them up on a blind date.
So anyway, Arlo, he can be like Carol. So there's the worst poster ever in our science lab. Yeah, we go to this really old school built in the 20s, or 40s or whatever. I think
20s, I think.
Late 20s.
Yeah.
And there's the science building, which, you know.
It's newer,
built in the 60s. There's this safety sign in the chemistry lab from like the 70s. It said, Carol didn't wear her safety goggles. Now she doesn't need them.
And accompanying it is a picture of a blind woman.
It is the darkest thing ever. So
consistently, whenever we're in class and we need safety goggles, someone always goes, like, don't be like Carol. And then Christian and I will chime in with, like, Arlo. Don't be an Arlo.
Don't be an Arlo. One second. I'm just checking the time.
It is 4:24.
I can't read military time. So.
You're welcome.
What? Yeah. I mean, I know Dr.
I mean, we've got a timer down there that tells us how long we've been running.
I don't know when we started. I know the timer on
39 minutes and 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, I'm sure the timer on everybody's phone says the longest time.
At some point, it's as soon as we really started talking, it just stopped. It's like
a freaking eternity.
More time than you should be spending on this.
Oh god.
We just need to record Arlo and then just insert that. That can be our intro.
Yeah, I mean,
but next time we should have a decent intro.
I kind of like the one we had today. Eventually we'll get a jingle, but maybe we set today's to music. Eventually we just read the entire periodic table.
There we go.
Yeah. Praseodymium, Neodymium, Promethium, Samarium.
This is when they just got lazy. Gadolinium, Terbium, Dipsipromium.
Technically, these are all fake ones.
Are these the ones
that technically shouldn't exist, and they have existed for less than a fraction of a second. And yet somehow they made it onto the periodic table.
And they're really the victims of rape. Like, I mean, hydrogen and oxygen and things. I mean, you know, they like to bond. I mean, they're really,
yeah,
I mean, they go to the singles bars. And
yeah, you know, but, I mean, there's full consent around
I mean,
there,
H2O
then,
makes sense.
Yeah.
But you have something like H3O. I mean, these are just lit, you know, sick, perverted scientists sitting in a laboratory.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah, I want to see this. See if we can get three of them in there at once. And they're just going to bond, damn it. And exist
you
for
know,
one second.
It's like those really intense porn addicts, you know, where they're just sitting there watching their movie or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, like, yeah, get on it, you know, you've got to do this, it's gonna satisfy me.
Are there people who do that?
I don't know. I really hope not.
I mean, I'm sure Nate does, but...
Yeah, you know, Nate. Jeez, Nate.
God.
Get it together.
Man, I mean, at least don't do it in public.
Yeah, you know, keep it to yourself.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I'm so bad at participating in conversations about porn. I know so little about it.
Well, I probably know less.
I mean,
actually, that might be a lie. But
I haven't even seen Boogie Nights.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it was a comedy. Sam Slocum was telling me I need to watch it. It's essentially,
fantastic.
It was a film about the 70s porn industry starring Mark Wahlberg as a porn star and then Burt Reynolds as a porn director.
Please don't watch that.
I have to. My mother told me that it's really good. He goes, you know, son, you know, I don't particularly like Mark Wahlberg either, but I'll admit, Entourage is a good show and Boogie Nights is a good movie.
Maybe I'll have to watch that as well this weekend.
Maybe.
I'm just accumulating a list.
So the running list, we've got
Full House,
Water for Elephants,
yep,
Sleepless
then,
in Seattle, Clerks, and then Boogie Nights.
Oh yeah, you know, and we'll eventually get around to making lists for you. I'm sure they'll be of much more terrifying things, but
the things
you
that
know,
you've seen that I haven't really
exactly
bothers me.
How about that? Did you see the Wes Anderson a porno film?
I did. Julian sent it to me because I'm a diehard Wes Anderson.
That was the most beautiful thing.
Yeah,
sent that to my father on accident.
I might have showed it to my mother, like, with her. No. We watched... Did you see the Wes Anderson horror movie thing for Saturday Night Live? The Mysterious Coterie of Midnight Intruders.
Dear.
It was, you know, starring, you know, Angelica Houston, Tilda Swinton, Owen Wilson, Bill Murray, Stop Motion Fox, and many other actors. This is what lies for entertainment on the internet. I'm just reciting clever lines that somebody else wrote, and
yeah,
then you could
know,
find
I mean,
with
could,
visuals.
We could probably just go on Tumblr right now and like read the text posts and get more laughs.
Oh god, Tumblr.
Tumblr is a beautiful place.
I don't do Tumblr. I do Reddit.
You should do Tumblr. I did Reddit once,
but I tried.
It was just bad. I felt like I was going to get hooked pretty fast.
Fiona told me I should get a Tumblr, so
get a Tumblr.
Why I listened to her, I did it. Then Hattie Knapp, great woman, no longer goes here. Well, no. She's
in spirit.
She's unique. She no longer goes here, unfortunately. She called me a Hufflepuff, which bothered me. But
you're a Hufflepuff.
I'm not a Hufflepuff.
You're a Hufflepuff.
I'm a Slytherin.
You're a Hufflepuff.
No.
If anyone is a Hufflepuff, it's you.
What if Gabby's listening?
You're a Hufflepuff. Just admit it.
I'm not a Ravenclaw.
You're clearly not a Gryffindor.
Well, what do you think you are?
I'm a Slytherin.
And I'm not?
Yes. You're a Hufflepuff.
Have you heard the things I've said? I'm not a Hufflepuff.
You're a Hufflepuff.
Why can't they make, like, a fifth house?
I'm gonna come and put in that little, like, Hufflepuff clip from SourceFed when Lee's doing her thing. You know, that's going to come in here every once in a while.
What is SourceFed?
It's like a kind of a...
You just did the Mr. Binks. Yeah. No, what is SourceFed?
It's like a news site, except it's also comedy.
It's a news site, or it's like a news site?
It's like a news
site. Well, a lot of news sites are comedy. Whenever Rob Ford does something, I mean, that's comedy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's be honest. And Fox News, that's the greatest parody that I have ever seen done. Like, well done for keeping it up this long, guys.
Okay, so I was at my grandfather's house recently, And he was informing me of this little bit of dead serious, of this bit of news he'd seen the other day about how Obama shouldn't be allowed to be president because he got his law license taken away years ago because he did something illegal in a trial and that none of us knew it. He goes, well, you guys probably wouldn't have recognized that. I mean, you don't watch Fox News. I cannot believe that every other network did not cover this. You know, Walter Cronkite would not have pulled this. The fact that we're living in an age where Fox News is the only place that had the guts to reveal the truth.
Oh, yeah, you know, that Fox News, they're quite a reputable news source. At all times, obviously. You know, I think it's very prudent of your grandfather to be relying on them.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I think that was sarcasm.
It was intense sarcasm.
I mean, that was podcast sarcasm. Like, that was, you know, you're on the radio, so.
You can see it in the little sound waves that we have here. They just look sarcastic.
Although, it appears to say that only the male voice is on. No, I'm sure it's recording.
Okay, well.
I'm sure it's recording you.
I hope it's recording me.
I was so worried about them it registering that I have a female voice because I tend to sound really high when I'm not really high, but I'm not Kevin Smith. But
Are you sure?
I tend to have a high-pitched voice when I'm being recorded, but maybe they think that you have a man voice.
I have a very low voice when I'm being recorded.
You have a very low voice. So something like this, sort of. I don't know how low this is going to sound on the recording.
No, I've always wanted to, like, before I realized that it's impossible to get a job, impossible to make money, it's not theater, and it's, you have to get up early, I always wanted to be on the radio. Like,
yeah,
when I was little, I would do this thing, I'd get up like 2 hours before school, and I would take this recorder, and I'd say, you know, good morning, it's Christian, the weather's great, I'd do this whole thing, and then I would literally just, like, I'd put a song on, record the song, and just sit there while I played, because I wanted to be a disc jockey so badly.
Oh, Christian, just, life goals here.
I mean, now my life goals is to star in the film Moose Jaws.
There you go.
Have I told you about that?
Think so.
No, I told Nate, but I mean.
Oh, okay, then tell me.
Okay. I mean, I don't know why I even tell Nate things.
Yeah, Nate, what's up with you?
Essentially, a new Kevin Smith horror movie. It's like Jaws, but with a moose. So it's a horror film about moose attacks.
Didn't they do something like that with beavers?
Oh, Zombievers?
Yeah.
I wanted to see that. I was at the Traverse City Film Festival this summer, and that was a midnight. I shouldn't have told them. They could have robbed my house a few months ago. But from now on, I'll tell you guys every time I'm leaving for somewhere, I'll tell you my address and where we keep the spare key.
Yeah, you know, that's a very important thing.
As long as you promise not to rob me.
Yeah, you know, otherwise it's fine.
Be a pod bean. So we've agreed to put up our podcast, or publish it via a really shady site called Podbean.
You know,
now Kat's going to go, it was the least shady of them.
It really was. You know, I looked around at all the ones that were recommended, and I sort of, like, looked into the registration, and it was the only one that didn't ask for our credit card number. All of them claimed to be free, but I have a feeling that they just wanted it to have on hand to buy weed.
Or in case of emergency.
Yeah, you know, in case of emergencies,
wait.
Like running out of acid.
What weed dealer takes credit cards? Like, unless you give him the credit card and say, you got 24 hours before they shut this thing down. But, I mean, he's got, like, a little Foursquare app, and you just scan your card, and he goes,
clearly that's how it goes.
Yeah. Oh, God, I mean.
I'm pretty sure you can order it online.
I've never bought weed, nor have I used it, nor.
You know, we're too boring of people to have done that.
Yeah, we're too interesting. We don't need weed.
Yeah, you know, clearly.
I mean,
we're not high right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can record a good podcast without weed. I can record a podcast without weed.
No, whether it's good or not, that is subjective.
It's not good. I mean,
it's just bad.
Sometimes it's not opinion, it's just fact. I mean, the only people who are enjoying this is us.
Yeah, we're having a pretty good time.
So we're going to keep doing this. I mean, we're going to have like 300 episodes.
Oh, yeah, and everyone else is just going to get sick of us until finally the internet police just find us and shut off the podcast.
Because, I mean, the internet police are going to do that. I mean,
definitely.
Not the gallery of the weirdest male genitalia that was on the front page of Reddit for 2 days. They're not going to shut down that. They're going to shut down
definitely
this.
Definitely not. You know, they're going to focus all of their energies on finding our source, coming and silencing us.
See Arlo being an internet policeman someday.
That's a job
like,
that he could do.
Like, he wears a little badge while he's sitting at his computer and goes, oh.
Sort of, like, browses. He's just... Pardon, he's just on, like, Reddit the whole day or something.
The places you would have to look to find things. I mean,
yeah,
I hear Fiona telling me about weird things she finds on the dark side of the internet. Am I the only one who doesn't go there? I go to Facebook, I go to Screen Rant, I go to Facebook, I mean,
I
Reddit
have,
occasionally.
If we look at my history, which we won't, it'll probably just be Tumblr and Google.
I mean, you honestly could look at my history. There's nothing there. I mean, I remember one time, I think I Googled, like, how to be a professional hostage negotiator and Candy DM's recipe in the same sitting.
I mean, I've Googled some weird stuff in my writing stuff. I mean, I've done how to kill children, how to quickly light houses on fire.
Oh, for writing.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely for writing. Infant mortality rates from car crashes, stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's all very innocent.
Completely.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Sam Slocum, he has this, I was at comedy camp with him,
yeah.
And him and his buddy have this, like, constant messaging, like, I guess conversation, like they text each other. Oh, that's what's, yeah, when one person sends something and someone says something back, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Where they just send each other pictures of, like, 9/11 and, like, dead bodies and, like, horrible, horrible things. It was the worst moment of my life looking at it. And I said, you know, Sam, if you ever get framed for murder, you're guilty. I mean, usually being white, you pretty much have a free pass to get off of any crime.
Like, right now, he's just off the deep end.
I mean, you can be Casey Anthony and you get off. But, I mean, when I look at that, I mean...
Yeah, you know, there's hard evidence against you.
Mm-hmm. So glad Nate's not here. He would have laughed at that.
Nate, you can just laugh at home to yourself.
He
quietly
can.
And sadly.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, classic Nate. So, yeah, I think, you know, that's pretty much a show.
Yeah, you know.
So, guys, it's, you know.
You have wasted a perfectly good hour listening to us.
No, 50 minutes. Let's not be ridiculous.
We're going to take it from Car Talk. You have wasted a perfectly good hour listening to us.
What's Car Talk? Going to take it from Car Talk?
You know what? We're going to end this now, and I'm going to force Christian to listen to 3 episodes of Car Talk.
Is that a podcast?
It's an excellent radio show.
Okay, so we need to come up with a good ending. We don't have that.
Oh, yeah, you know, we're going to come up with this on the fly.
Right.
Hey, let's just read some.
This. Good night, Kat.
Good night. It is currently 4:30.
I was hoping you'd say good night, Christian, so we could be like,
good night, Christian.
God damn it, Arlo. All right, peace out, guys. Nate, I bet you're still listening. Toodaloo.